If you will, open up to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And we've been studying, been on a series about, and I liked the music that we had today because it goes along with what we're talking about, is what God has declared you to be in spite of what you think about yourself. God has built a relationship into our life that no one can break but God Himself. And what He declares us to be, that's what we are in the mind of God, but not always in the mind of men. Men always see things differently, and I like the word that Lonnie was sharing with us, how we look at all these screens, but really we need to be focusing on what God has declared us to be. And the only way that you can meet or to enter into what God has declared you to be is you have to see it clearly what God has declared you to be. But that's a very rough thing to do, because if you keep looking through the eyes of your own self, you'll always fall short. And we started this series off between Moses and Gideon, and how they both had their own self-images to deal with when God called them to do great things. But God didn't expect them to do the impossible. He only expected them to yield to what they could do, and He would work through them to accomplish. And it's still the same today. God is looking to work through you to accomplish what He's required you to do. Praise God. And so this morning in Hebrews chapter 4, this puzzled me for a long time, because in Hebrews chapter 3, it talks about the house of the Lord. And then in chapter 4, it talked about Moses exiting in the wilderness. And one of the things that you find in chapter 3 and also in chapter 4 is this statement: today, if you will hear His voice. We find that in chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice. Then it goes on, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And He was talking about the rebellion that took place in Numbers chapter 14. In the day of the trial in the wilderness. Then when He gets over into verse 13, today, exhort one another daily what it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. Then He goes down to verse 15 and said, today, if you will hear His voice. And then in chapter 4, it's repeated that when God has spoken in a certain place, what did He say when He spoke in a certain place? Then He talked about the rebellion. And in verse 7, He says, today, here we've got that thing again. Today, if you hear His voice. He's talking about presently today. He says they couldn't hear His voice then, but you and I have the ability to hear His voice today. And He says the same thing, do not harden your hearts. And then He goes down and He brings this verse very much alive, that our translators never caught the picture of what was being said in verse 12. And in verse 12, this is what the translator said: for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Well, the translators sometimes put words in there that do not complement what God is actually saying. Now, I want to share something with you. I don't mean to discredit the translators. I know they do the best that they can. But you've got to realize the Holy Spirit is the one that has to be our teacher. He calls ministers to teach, that's true. But you've got to remember the Holy Spirit is the only one really qualified to be the initiator of what is to be taught. Now, There's such a thing as called the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It means a hidden truth. It's not like the English word, something you can't come to know. The word mystery, mysterion, literally means a truth that had been hidden in God, but can only be made known by the person who is illuminated by the Holy Spirit. Now, what people don't realize about the Holy Spirit coming into the heart of men is because God did something to man that makes man have a greater ability to hear His voice. Whenever I seek for insight from God, I don't exclude other ministers. A lot of other ministers have a lot of great things to say. I glean a lot from other ministers. But the ministers that I glean from is the ones whom the Lord has sent me to. I have learned how to listen to God, whom to listen to, and whom not to listen to. Because the Bible is very clear, be careful how you hear. Because with the same measure that you're hearing with, that will be measured back to you. And so hearing is a very important thing. Now I'm going to tell you something real quick like. The Bible is very clear, and we're going to look at scriptures. It's very clear that everything on planet Earth comes through the understanding of seed time and harvest. In other words, the seed has to be planted, it has to be watered, and it has to produce fruit. So we call it the law of sowing and the law of reaping. Amen? Follow me very closely. He says here, not only to us who are the house of Christ, he says you have to be able to hear His voice. You have to be able to hear His voice. Then, in chapter 4, he talks about the day of rebellion and how they did not hear His voice. But then he says, today, if you will hear His voice. Even though they heard God in the wilderness, it didn't make a change in them. Because from one situation to the next situation to the next situation, they always murmured and complained, and would to God that they were back into Egypt, because at least in Egypt they were taken care of. So all as they were doing was viewing everything from a natural viewpoint. And even though God spoke, they wasn't willing to hear it. And then what God had to do to catch their attention was to create a miracle to catch their attention. Are you following me? We want water. You brought us out in the wilderness to kill us. Now, is that the mind of God? When the mind of God is, I want to speak to you in the way that you come to increase. Not decrease, increase. And so they couldn't hear His voice. But today He guarantees us by these words here that we can hear His voice. We have the ability to hear His voice. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Now He's done a wonderful thing for us to be able to hear His voice. Now, it says here that first of all, you have to be diligent to enter into His rest. What kind of rest He was speaking of? Well, here's the rest that He was speaking of. He says, if you have the mind of your spirit, you will have what? Life and peace. But if you have the mind of the flesh, you will not have life and peace. Especially today. You can't even turn on television. You can't even turn on the radio. And there's a war going on. And there's vain imaginations flying. And you don't know who to believe and who not to believe. And everybody's calling the news media now false news. It's not genuine, it's false. And so here you are, a person who really doesn't really have the facts about anything. But you know what God told me one day? I said, God, but I've got to be a discernment of what's right from wrong. And God says, I'll tell you how you can discern what's right from wrong. Keep your mind stayed on me. I have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I have a kingdom that is full of truth, and I have a voice that fits that kingdom, and you don't have to listen to all the vain imaginations flying around you don't know nothing about. Feed yourself my word. Feed yourself my word, and you will hear my voice. Because its concern is the law of sowing and reaping. Now, our translators had done the best that they can, but a lot of these translators were trying to interpret what God had left us, called the pure word. He left us this word so that He gifted us with words. A lot of times we don't realize how blessed we are. We're gifted with the word of God. Did you know that you're gifted with the word of God? But I got news for you. You're also gifted to be able to hear His voice through the word of God. But it ran into my own pulpit. Give me a little room here in case I run into it again. Praise God. Now, here's how the translators translated it one way. But this is how it was translated according to the original text. It says this: for the word of God is living. Now, why did he say it's living? Because God is not dead. He's alive. And as long as he's alive, then his word has life behind it. Can I hear an amen? Now watch this. He says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Actually, in the Greek, it's sharper than any two-mouthed sword. Soma. Two mouths speaking. Now, I begin to catch a hold of something here I had not seen before. Because in chapter 3 it says, today, if you will hear His voice. How does He speak to us today? One way, in a Son. He speaks through us, Jesus Christ. He doesn't speak to us through Moses. He doesn't speak to us through Judaism. He speaks to us through Jesus. Now, to me, that's comforting to know that I don't have to be in confusion. I know where His voice comes from. It comes through Jesus. So that if I take Jesus as my word speaking to me, what does that mean? It means that the word that was not flesh became flesh so that I could hear His voice clearer. And that makes me exempt from those who came out of the Exodus. Why? Because God didn't have to speak through one man a law of a cursing if you didn't hear Him. He now speaks to us through a law that is exempt from any form of law that resides here. Now, I want you to get a hold of what I'm saying here. Here's what they did. They took the word two-edged sword rather than two-mouth sword. It means two voices are at work. It said, but the word of God, what it does is it comes down and passes through those two voices. the Word of God comes down and passes through those two voices. Now, it said, to the division of soul and spirit. Notice it's singular. One soul, one spirit. Singular. Now here's where our translators missed it. It says, and of joints and marrow. They got joints plural and marrow singular. In the Greek, they're both plural. Of joints and of marrows. What of joints and what of marrows? Watch this. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart of a person. Now here's what the Word of God does. He comes down, and the Word of God has done something for us that it had never done at any other time. For our dispensation, our time period, the Word of God is designed so that it can come down and make a division of what voice you are to hear. And now it says both of in the Greek. It just doesn't say and is, but it says both of. And when I caught the word both of in the Greek, I said, wait a minute. Both of joints and both of marrows? And the Lord said, that's the way it is in the Greek. So I got out my Greek Bible and I was shocked because I always thought it was one joint and one marrow, the division of the soul and the division of the spirit. But what he was saying is both of joints and of marrows, both of. And it literally meant the Word of God makes a division between these two voices. What two voices? The one voice that connects himself to the outer man and what he has to say, and the other voice to the inner man and what he has to say. And so you could say it better off this way, in this terminology, that the Word of God can divide what is right from what is wrong. It can tell you what the mind, what joins itself to the body is a voice of itself, and what joins itself to the spirit is a voice of itself. And so you've got two voices. You've got the voice of the natural man, and you've got the voice of the Spirit of God working in you. Now here's the kicker. You're the one that has to make a decision how far you want to go to make a distinction between these two voices. And here's how you can make the distinction. It says, very simply put, it says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, no creation hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open, nothing hidden from him, that he has not provided in his word that you're accountable to the Word of God. It didn't say we're accountable to him, we're accountable to this word. Because the word has the ability to make a distinction between what is going on in your thinking. Is it a voice of the spirit or is it the voice of the flesh? Now, when I started my journey on this book of Revelations and I started seeing a lot of this, the Lord said, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to disregard things that are in the past. And now that you're getting the understanding of how to hear my spirit and how my mind comes to you today, if you will hear my voice, he says, I'll give you the mind of the book The book of Revelation, I give you that. And when I begin to see that mind, oh my gosh, I'm telling you people, it is so true. You cannot with your natural mind figure out the mind of God. My thoughts are not your thoughts. The word of God that we have today knows how to make a distinction between the thoughts that were in the Old Testament versus the thoughts that we're living in now to that which is coming. The thinking is different. Totally different. Now, he's literally saying, when he said, today if you will hear his voice, today if you will hear his voice, today, seven times, today if you will hear his voice, he was saying you can hear it by getting into the Word of God. Now, let me tell you something. I guess the best way I can do it is that God had to do something for us. He had to initiate seed for us. Because we couldn't come up with seed on our own. God had to give us seed. And when did this seed that was given to us begin? It began back shortly after the fall. Then God knew he had to provide seed for us. Now, why am I saying that? Well, in Psalms 115, verse 14, Genesis 1:28, when he spoke to Adam, Genesis 9:1, spoke to Noah, Genesis 17:2, he spoke to Abraham, and this is what he told him. He says, I'm going to give you increase in your life. You know what he says to us today? I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So you know what that means? It means the law of sowing and reaping is for my benefit to bring increase, not decrease. But did you know that the law of sowing and reaping can work in reverse for you? It's what you give your mind to. It's what you give your mind to. Now, before the fall, Adam had perfect fellowship with God. You want to know why? It was spirit to spirit. He had a soul, but his soul functioned totally on behalf of his spiritual benefit. He had an earth suit, and that's how he saw it, an earth suit. And so anything that he saw from a natural plane was not evil. It was good. It was perfect. And God spoke to him and told him something. But it said today, if you hear his voice, when he speaks, pay attention to what he says. You know what Adam paid attention to? What God said. I've created everything for you, Adam. It's yours. Go and take dominion. Adam heard it. And Adam did it. Why? Because he was not working or operating out of his natural man. His natural man was for his benefit. He was operating out of his spirit. Now, if you'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to look at some statements here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at this. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. Actually, in the Greek, it's soul. He had life in his soul. Now, was he exempt of a body? And was he exempt of a spirit? Absolutely not. That's what made Adam complete. Spirit, soul, body. He was complete. But his soul didn't know death. It had no concept of death. And I preach this time and time again when I tell people. You've got to realize the wonderful, beautiful gift God has given us, which is His Word. He gave us the beautiful gift of His Word. Now, Adam and Eve didn't have a Bible, but they had God. He came down and fellowshipped with them. What better can you have than the King James Bible? God Himself would work for me. How about you? And He fellowshipped with them. And He gave them instructions. He had to give them instructions to let them know that they had freedom of choice. Because He wanted their heart. And He assured that they would be secure by His presence. And so what had happened, His natural man and His spirit were created to work in harmony with each other. People ask me all the time, well, what about this teaching that God reduced man's lifespan by 120 years? And I said, that's a bunch of baloney. Whoever taught that doesn't know their Bible. Because if you understand that verse of 120 years, He was talking about the time period it took for Noah to build the ark. He was giving mankind another 120 years to repent while Noah was building that ark. It had nothing to do about the longevity of man, because I'm going to tell you something. Man lives still a long time even after the flood. Why? Because man was learning how to die. He wasn't learning how to live. He was learning how to die. And we find by the time we get to chapter 11, after chapter 6 of Genesis, man became one with his flesh. Now he is entering into a shorter time period because he didn't know what death was. Adam didn't know what it meant to die. He thought it meant something physical. He didn't know that it also includes spiritual. He didn't know the consequences of his sin. But God came to him and He said, now you're cursed with the curse. Now, there's going to be some seed sown in you that will produce after its kind, and it's not good. Yeah, you have to be careful about what you hear. Now, with that thought in mind, turn to Genesis 8. Genesis 8. Just here recently, I had God come on me about some things, and all hell broke loose on my life. I couldn't believe it. But God said, your time has come. You need to be careful how you hear. I never had God ever tell me that. He said, you need to be careful. And I'm going to tell you what. The enemy began his work against me that was unreal. And I knew right then and there, God really wants me to enter into a place to understand His mind. Now, in Genesis chapter 8, I want us to notice a verse here. Go to verse 22. Genesis 8, 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. He made a statement here. He said, as long as the earth remains, everything boils down to seed time and harvest. I'm going to tell you something, what God did. He gave us something called a seed that we couldn't give ourselves. And that was a promise of the Savior that was to come. His name was Jesus. And Jesus, when He came, He exegesis. He explained or interpreted clearly what His Heavenly Father was really like. And the religious man could not see it. Why? Because he was sowing seeds in him that was contrary to the voice of God. And so, along with seed time and harvest, right back to Genesis 8, God said, now that as long as the earth remains, the earth is in a perpetual state of the law of sowing and reaping. So God knew now he has to give seed to humanity so that the seed can clearly define what voice is of the body and what voice is of the spirit. And so he began his process. Now, people, you don't know how blessed you are. The nation of Israel, when it was rising up, only the leadership had the word of God. And so the entire nation had to come together at the meeting of the tents, and they had to declare the word of God from one man, because they didn't have Bibles like you and I got today. They only had one man to utter the voice of God, and the others were to say, Amen. And God came down at the tent of meeting in a pillar, and they all saw it because they went to the tents and saw. And they knew that was the authority to pay attention to the leader when he spoke. I think we'd all be a lot better off if we had some of that today. You can't get people into church because God plans a meal for you and I on Sunday to match that need for that week. And then Christians, when they become dull of hearing, they're no longer interested. They think they've arrived by some means. Then they miss the very point that God tries to get across to them for that week so they can serve. They're not bonding. They're not connecting with God. All they're doing is living for themselves and assimilating some kind of knowledge of God without putting it to use. You know, I wish I could think of everything, but there are a lot of ministers who can think of things I can't think of. Thank God I love ministers, but I have to have God tell me who to listen to and who not to listen to. Now, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, let's go there. Galatians. A minister friend of mine said some things to me that was incredible, because I was telling him that how important it is to do a single sermon or a series. And he says, why do you even look at it from that viewpoint? And I says, well, what viewpoint do you like? And he says, I look at it from the viewpoint of being able to communicate. If you can communicate to your people the right words, he says, you get the right results. And I said, that is wisdom. And in Galatians chapter 6, notice here, it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, such as a one in spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law, the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Very interesting. Talked about the law of sowing and reaping. Now, with that thought in mind, I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 5. I know I'm throwing a lot on you, but I'm setting a pattern of thinking for you. In Hebrews chapter 5, I want us to go down to let's go down to verse 11. of whom we have much to say, and hard to explain. This really in the Greek means interpret. It's hard to explain its meaning. Its meaning. Listen. Did you know it's not hard for God to interpret His Word? Did you know that? But here it would kind of indicate that it is hard to interpret God's Word. But you've got to understand the fullness of this verse. It's hard to interpret the Word of God through people who want to remain stupid. Because he goes on and says, since you have become dull of hearing. Do you know that I am now in a state as of a few months ago, since I've been studying the book of Revelation and stopped in so many places and not understanding so many things, that it has been a journey of remarkableness for me to have the ability to hear the mind of God through such an unrelatable book. And I said, God, why do you got me in this book this way? He says, because you are now beginning to understand the language that I have left you so that you will understand my message. And I said, what language is that? He said, the language that I've given your spirit. He says, I've given you that language so you can speak to me and I can unfold the hidden truths that are in that book. And boy, he showed me some things after saying that to me, prayed in tongues. You know what? You just have to be patient with God. You just have to give God time to download the information that you need. It's incredible. And one thing I've learned about the book of Revelation, are you ready? Wednesday night, not this Wednesday because I'll be gone again, but John will be speaking. But when I come back, we're going to continue on the subject of the love of God. Because I have learned some things about the love of God that's fantastic. And I have just recently learned them. And if I've just recently learned it, it means you hadn't learned them yet. The book of 1 John is fabulous, people. It gives us some understanding. I want to tell you something. Did you know that a man cannot continue to miss the mark with his brother? Because 1 John says, his seed remains in us. His seed remains in it. Well, if his seed remains in me, what do I do with that seed? You have to wash it with the water of the Word. If there's a seed in you, and you know what that seed was? It's the Holy Spirit that shed abroad the love of God in our hearts, because the love of God is His nature that He put in you, and He's designed His Word to wash over it and cause it to take root and grow in you. Amen. There is such a strength in growing in the love of God. It's incredible. No, I got to get off of that track. I got to get back and wonder. Notice what he says. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have become to need milk and not solid food. You know what it means? It means they weren't even getting milk. You know, Kenneth Hagin said, there are ministers who are ministering. They're not even ministering milk. He says, because if you were getting milk, you could grow by it. And you have one to teach you again, and you've been in the church for 50 some years. He said, but strong meat belongeth to those who have been brought to maturity. And how were they brought to maturity? Oh, people, I'll tell you how they were brought to maturity. They learned the voice of their sensual mind. Oh, we're getting close to His return, people. We're getting close to His return. So, he's saying here, but solid food belongs to those who are full age, that by those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised, trained to discern both of good and of evil. Therefore, leaving the discussions of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. And today we got conflict of repentance from dead works, because nowadays they're taking dead works and say they're a part of the kingdom of God. And they are not. Dead works is not a part of the kingdom of God. For the doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and this we will do if God permits, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, have become partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, that they crucify again for themselves the Son of God, and put into an open shame. For the earth, which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessings from God. It gets down to the subject of the law of sowing and reaping. And this is what he's saying. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. It's useless. So, this tells me something. This tells me that God's word was sown into this earth for the benefit of you and I, to take that seed and put it on the inside of us and begin to bring it to what? A root system in us to stabilize us and then to produce out of us the good fruit of the word of God. And you can't do it by listening to the world and listening to the kingdom of God at the same time. Come, people, when you listen to the negativity of this world and you use this term, well, I have to have discernment of what the world's all about. I'm going to tell you something. If you can discern what the kingdom of God is all about, guess what? You will be able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart of this world. You won't be deceived. So, we're going to cover the law of sowing and reaping. We're going to cover the law of sowing and reaping. We're going to cover the thing that God said about His Word. He said His Word will fall on us like water. Why? Because He has given us His seed, and that seed is on the inside of us. Are you following me? The seed is on the... If it's in the Word of God and we get that seed in us, then God will do something to cause that seed to grow. And guess what? Jesus said for you and I during our time frame, our time period, I want you to get a hold of this. I want you to get a hold of this and meditate on it. He said, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He will enter into you, and out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water and give truth to what He's saying. You know what revelation knowledge is? It is not knowledge that comes by praying in tongues. Revelation knowledge is a result of praying in tongues. Did you get that? Now, here's how I saw revelation knowledge. You have one knowledge of this world. And when revelation comes, you get another knowledge on top of it. That's how I thought it. Till I went and looked up the meaning of that. Are you ready? Revelation knowledge is God put a seed of His Word here. And the Holy Spirit's job is to illuminate us to have the interpretation of that knowledge. Not a different knowledge, but to give you the true interpretation of the knowledge that He left us in His Word. Woo! That's different. That's different! And that's why God says, when I get on your case about getting into a book and looking for its mind, He says, you'll have to blot out what your teacher Kenneth Hagin told you. He says, When you ask him those questions and he looked up, he said, you'll have to build on top of me. His mind was going through scriptures and he knew better than to say, I was wrong. He was saying, no, your generation is going to be different than my generation. You're going to start getting a better insight as to the meaning of what God is saying in his word. Revelation knowledge is taking the knowledge that God has left in his word, which is living and alive. God is still alive, still back. It. And then he gives you the Holy Spirit to give you the correct interpretation of the same knowledge. The trouble is you can't become dull of hearing. I told the Lord, I said, I want to just be consumed with what you're saying through your word. And he says, okay, then I want you to understand some things. He says, if the law of sowing and reaping remains as long as the earth is here, then here's what we have to look at through the law of sowing and reaping. So if you have a pencil and paper, you might want to write it down. Number one, we're going to cover the law of sowing and reaping. Number two, we're going to cover the law of hearing. Hearing. Because see, without the law of your hearing ability, the seed can't enter in. The law of hearing. Then we're going to look at number three, the law of wisdom. And then number four, we're going to look at the law of words. It says, you will partake of the fruit of your lips. And so we're going to look at the law of words. Then we're going to look at the law of use, the law of timing, and the law of faith. We're going to cover those seven rare areas. And when we get through, people, I'm going to tell you something. It'll be a lot better for all of it. If you're consistent to listen. If you fragment it, you won't get nothing out of it. It'll just be more information fragmented. That's why hearing is so important. Because when you hear, the Holy Spirit's job is to paint the complete picture that is in the seed. Are you following me? It's just like a packet of seeds that you look and it shows you a picture on it of what is in the seed, like a carrot stick or a head of lettuce or whatever it is you're planting, or a tomato. They give you a picture of what's in the seed. Now, if you took the seeds out and put them on a table and then you fragment them, you're not going to get that picture. You're going to get weirdness. Wouldn't it be something when you pour that tomato seed out on the table, take a hammer and start fragmenting it, and take all that ground up seeds and put it in the ground? I guarantee you what'll come out of that ground, nothing. But let's say something did come out of the ground. So you go to get a tomato, and you find your tomato is weird looking. What do I mean by weird? Well, it gave you the blade and it gave you the ear, but where's the full corn in the ear? You get nothing. You absolutely get nothing. The seed has to remain intact. And God knows how to give you and I seed. And he knows that if the Holy Spirit begins to speak in our hearts, he can tell us the meaning to what has already been said. And we're also going to look at what destroys the law of sowing and reaping. Mark 4 tells you what destroys it. And Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, he said, how in the world are you going to understand any parable? You know what a parable is? It means to tell a story that's alongside what is being said. Did you guys get something here this morning? Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your spirit. dear Heavenly Father, you are a wonderful Father. You're a wonderful God. Hallelujah. And you know how to strengthen us. You know what comfort really means. It means to infuse strength in us. Father, you infuse that strength in my people. Cause them to begin to see you as you really are. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Father, may everyone in this building have a victorious walk this week in Jesus' name. And do not allow the enemy to sow any more seed in their thinking. Father, may they resist it by getting into the Word of God and hearing it in Jesus' name. With that said, you're dismissed. Hallelujah.